called to order. Roll call, please.
Director Angelo?
Here.
Director Hill?
Here.
Director Mann? Vice President Bookout?
Here.
President Dahl?
Here. Okay. Y'all please stand and join me for the flag salute. Ready? Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Brings us to public comment. Is there any public comment at this time?
Good evening, President Dahl, members of the board. My name is Mark Wampler. You know, every time I stand up here, I think to myself, is there something good and positive to say about what's going on in the district? And I genuinely look for that. But I have to confess, when I look at my agenda packet, it's pretty dismal. And it's hard to come up with something good to say because of the rampant spending of this district. The accountability is dismal. It's very discouraging. But I wanted you to know that I do look and try to find something good to say. And maybe if I dug a little harder, I could find something. With our water rates going up, with our garbage rates going up, it's very discouraging. So anyway, we're here just to watch you guys, keep things accountable, and hopefully one of these days I have something good to say. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there anyone else at this time? Okay, that brings us to item number 4, review and approval of the minutes. Is there any public comment on the minutes? Okay, hearing none. Questions, comments from the board?
On page 5, which would be item 8C, there's a discrepancy on the motion maker and the votes. I believe the votes correctly record how the motion was made. I believe I made the motion. It was seconded by Director Mann, as the vote tally would indicate, seconded by Director Mann. And the vote tally below is correct and shows the proper
order. That could be right. I was off of the paragraph.
Anything else? Anybody else?
I move to accept the minutes as corrected.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carries 4-0. Okay, it takes us to item number 5, reports.
We'll table that.
Okay, 5 is tabled. Okay, item number 6, solid waste collection. Mr. Cooney, you want to introduce our...
Can I mention something about 5?
About 5?
Yeah, I noticed there was in the checks that we had there...
It's not signed.
Okay, so we won't sign it until he's appeared before the board?
Yes.
Okay.
And, I was going to mention, since that happened... And we make that part of the motion when we approve the warrants.
Okay.
I'll do that.
Okay. So, solid waste collection.
Okay, the South County Sanitary Service presented the district with an interim year rate adjustment application request for a 4.67% rate increase. This is established by contractual arrangements, all the 5 cities, areas, the city of, and the rate setting process is established by the City of San Luis Obispo rate setting progress and methodology for integrated solid waste management rates. And that is part of the contract that we signed as part of OCSD Ordinance 1999-1. There's a resolution attached. That Ordinance 1999-1 allows us to adjust rates by resolution. This evening, Mr. Tom Martin, who's the controller of the South County Sanitation Service, is here to address your board and answer any questions. But the recommended action before your board is to, by board discussion, public comment, motion, second, and roll call vote, determine the percentage increase allowable and accept Oceano Community Service District Resolution Number 2006-8, the resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Service District, establishing new rates for the collection and disposal of solid waste and rubble.
Okay, thank you. Tom, did you want to say anything?
And 8, which is driving the landfill costs. The landfill rates are going up to pay for electronic devices. Everything with essentially with a plug in it now has to be dealt with as a universal waste and handled separately, taken apart. The circuit boards have to be taken out of it. Batteries, fluorescent light tubes, those kind of things are all have to have special handling now. So those really are the two drivers, and that's why we're at 4.47. Okay. 4.67, I'm sorry.
Is Sacramento...
Let's go to public comment first. Okay, is there any public comment?
Mary Lucy Oceano. I'd like to speak against this increase. I can't remember, you were speaking so fast, Mr. Cooney. I couldn't remember when the last month was that we reviewed this. Was it August or something like that, and there was a rate increase?
April of last year,
okay. And so you're working off a contract that is 7 years old. If the contract was created in 99, it's 7 years old. And I think that that's fair enough grounds for to at least review it instead of just automatically passing, you know, the buck off to us. And the reason why I'm asking you to do that, because this is a mandatory service. We don't have a choice whether we have trash service or not. You know, quite frankly, 6 of us in our neighborhood said, well, fine, we'll just go to the dump. We'll rotate. You know, it would cost us about 10% of what we're paying now. So I ask you to table this and at least review the contract. It's 7 years old. And because this is a mandatory service. And it's, quite frankly, gouging us.
And Mr. President, this is the last year of the interim year rate adjustment. Next year there will be a review of the entire thing. There's a three-year cycle that we go through. 2 years of that cycle is interim, and this is the second of the interim. Next year will be an analysis, a base year analysis.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other public comment?
I'm Andrew Province from Oceano, and I understand the cost of fuel and the cost of energy are driving the prices, and the cost of landfills as the population increases drives the cost of landfills up. But when I go to the grocery store and they drop my eggs and they smash them and they don't replace them, I don't go get my trash can from down the street or watch them put the trash in the truck, I think is pretty lame. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
Now, I understand we have an annual cleanup that the garbage company sponsors. But it seems to me that with these increases, I would like to see, you know, stray couches disappear once in a while. You know, kick in a little bit extra, because a lot of people aren't motivated necessarily to dispose of them, unfortunately. As part of the culture here in Oceano, I would like to see the garbage company kick in and just, okay, go ahead and pick up some sofas and chairs in the alley. I'd like to see some more services for this. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mr. Martin, do you have anything else you want to add?
Unless you have some questions.
Okay. We'll bring it to the board then.
I have a couple of questions for Mr. Martin. And the first is that looking at your cover letter here, it says that I've projected that franchise fees will be the same as 2005, yet I look at your interim year rate adjustment application, and it shows the projected interim year 2005 franchise fees to be $785,000 and 2006, $856,000, which is about a delta of $80,000. So I'm wondering why it says I've projected the franchise fees will be the same.
Yeah, the projected 2005 number was what I projected in 2004 as to what they would be. What they actually came out to be was the $856,965. I always try and underestimate them because we're always kind of working a year behind. Because if I get too far ahead of what the actual numbers are, then it means that they're, you know, I'm way off base, and I'd rather be catching up than be way out in front of everything. Okay. It's just a conservative approach.
The second question has to do with the universal waste. I know that retail establishments now that sell the types of devices you were talking about are now charging the consumer a fee for collection and disposal of those devices at the end of their service life. And that was intended to pay the universal waste disposal.
You have to deal with not just television sets and monitors, everything from alarm clocks to cell phones to the speaker system that runs this thing. Anything that gets thrown away has to be dealt with separately now. Brand new law, unfunded mandate. They did the same thing with television sets and computer monitors about 4 years ago. They went 2 years having it unfunded, and then after they had 2 years worth of data, they came in with a redemption value to charge for each item. And that's essentially what we believe Sacramento is doing now, is that 2 years from now, they will come back with a redemption item amount that you pay every time you buy one of those items. And the landfill increase sunsets in 2 years based on that reality.
So we would expect to see a proportionate decrease at that time.
It will be taken into account at that time. That's why the interim adjustment deals with the landfill issue every year, depending on what happens with that rate.
Thank you.
Okay. My question was answered. So,
and I just would like to add one thing about the couches. In the past 7 years that we've been dealing with the district, anytime the district identifies anything in an alley that they want picked up, they call us and we go pick it up. If you know where it is, you call me and tell me the address, and we'll usually get it within the next day. So it is a service that we have been providing for 7 years.
There's a tire in my alleyway behind my nursery.
Okay, be gone tomorrow.
Okay.
Yep.
I appreciate your position on that. If you do indeed collect sofas and mattresses and the kind of stuff that we do see in the alley here, I sincerely appreciate that because it is a benefit to all of the residents of the community.
Yeah, generally the best bet is to run it through Mitch or Gina through the district office, and they just get a hold of us on a regular basis. We're in contact with them two or three times a week anyway.
To make this easier, if this passes, if a resident in Oceano calls Mitch, then they make him aware of a sofa, an alley on beach or wherever, and then Mitch, you'll then call Tom's office and see if that's removed.
What I do under the ordinance is I send the property owner a notice that they have 10 days to remove it. Property owner doesn't remove it within 10 days, then I get a hold of the sanitation company. Once in a while, somebody will complain, and I don't know that the person who's complaining is complaining about things.
4 years, it's a gigantic tire, and there's some other trash out there, too. My property over there by Central Market, there's always a couch or something out there. I don't live on the property. No one lives on my property, but there's always something appearing out there. No discretion to just go pick something up.
I have to follow the ordinance.
Okay.
If I don't follow that law, I mean, there's other laws that I'd have. I have to follow all the laws. And one of the laws of the district is that if there is discards found somewhere in the district, that the property owner whose property it is on or in front of, that's the way the ordinance reads, will receive a notice. They have 10 days to remove it. Very many times that the item is removed when I find out about it and send a notice. But on some occasions, like this one lady who said, there was a couch and a chair were sort of dumped in the alley and, sort of visited upon her without her, any of her knowledge, then I just called the company. As Tom said, I worked with the people here in Grover, and it was just removed.
Is there a way we could possibly look at passing a new ordinance that just allows us to waive the 10 days and get that trash out of the alleyways a little bit faster?
Well, we certainly, you know, I certainly could. The one issue is then the district would be in the position of you know, basically picking up everything. I would say 90% of the notices that I send out are dealt with by the property owners. And so the ones, you know, and if it's not dealt with in the 10 days, and I said it, I call Tom and let him know what the situation is. And not Tom, but I call his office in Grover and take care of it that way. I think we need to put some responsibility on the property owner from a standpoint that if we don't, it just becomes, you know, it becomes endemic. It's sort of like, you know, the sheriff was here at one point indicating to us that if you don't clean up graffiti, you just invite more graffiti. If you clean it up, the people who are tagging buildings and signs and things like that realize that this is a futile effort and they stop. And so the same type situation exists with the trash, that if we have some responsibility placed on the property owners, and I've never taken one to the extent that the ordinance allows us to. I mean, the ordinance says that, you know, if you don't do it in 10.
Did you want to comment on this item?
Yes, please.
If there's no objections from anyone on the board, I'd like to go back to public comment on this item.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, back in public comment.
Thank you, President Dahl. I was curious.
Could you please state your name?
Oh, my name is Judith Worsing, and I'm a visitor here this evening. But I was curious about your trash problems, and then when there's something to be picked up and you call the office, isn't there an additional charge to the homeowner for that? I know there is up our way.
Tom?
Yes, there
Thank
is.
You. And it's usually costs us like $20 for a mattress. Is that correct?
That sounds reasonable, yeah. I'm not exactly sure.
So I was curious, like, you know, it was a nice gesture that there was a tire or something laying around that somebody could call and have that removed, but I guess that wouldn't be free to the person who called?
If they called the office, if they called the sanitation company, obviously you're asking for a service. If they call our office and we go through the abatement process, and we call the sanitation company, a lot of instances it is just dealt with without us being billed. Sometimes we do get a bill. It's a reduced bill, but sometimes, you know, I mean, it depends upon how much we're asking them to move. So they're very cooperative with us. They're, you know, and as Tom has indicated this evening, you know, they and our office are in contact 3 or 4 times a week. It's, you know, it's an ongoing relationship. And I think that the difference in the community since we had the 1999 ordinance put in place than before is marked difference. I mean, I think we've got a much cleaner, much better community.
Yes. Well, thank you for allowing me to ask that question.
Thank you.
Can I ask one more thing?
Sure. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Mr. Cooney, but I doubt that you drive your BMW over the mattresses in our alleys. And I'm sorry, sir, but I've been watching your trash trucks drive over the top of the mattresses in our alleys for 3 years now. And so, Mr. President, what I'm hearing is a lot of dissatisfaction with the customer service. You know, and there is no property owner for the alleys. People don't, you know, I mean, all of us sat there and stared at the couch on Beach Street, you know, for over a year and a half, that colonial.
It seems to me that possibly there should be some discretionary budget set aside. We do have a community enhancement committee. It seems to me that as part of a community enhancement, there should be some discretionary funds set aside for stray couches and mattresses. Let's look at that idea, okay? Let's kick in district and put in a little bit extra bucks to clean up these alleys.
Okay, thank you. Is that all? Anyone else? Okay, we're going to bring it back to the board then. Anyone else here? Tom, anything else from you?
Sorry.
Did you have anything to add? Okay.
Just a couple of comments. I have heard increasing reports from residents and some personal experience that the quality of service may be something that, Tom, you may want to monitor a little bit more closely. I have started to receive complaints that, for example, all of the trash isn't making it into the truck. And some cases, residents are, for some reason, being skipped on service days. And have to call and wait 2 or 3 days to get a makeup collection. So it's possible that you might want to monitor the service quality a little more closely. I do like the commenter's suggestion that we perhaps consider in the next base year or at the nearest reasonable time a collection of some kind of an impound fee, perhaps, to look at the areas that are not private property, such as the alleys that do seem to collect things. And I'm sympathetic, again, that there's mattresses and so forth that have been left out there for beyond most people's remembrance. So possibly that would be a way to deal with it if we could at a reasonable time.
I think all that stuff is pretty much in effect. We get charged sometimes for some of the stuff we have picked up. We do have a small amount of money that comes back from the garbage company to take care of that type of thing. I believe the way it's set up now, the alleyways actually belong to the property owner, but there's an easement through them. Is that how it's set up? That's why the people that the alleys are, the houses that
line. That's never been enforced because some people at some points have suggested that they are owning the alley and are going to be responsible for weed abatement in the alley and trash abatement and all kinds of other stuff. They would prefer to close off the alley. Well, that precludes the fire department from getting through that alley in case of an emergency. As I said, these are issues in dispute. The district has applied for a grant, which at this particular time has not been successful, but we will continue to apply again to pave, maintain, gutter, put a V gutter down the center of some of the alleys in Oceano that would that are our most most used alleys. In 3-4 months out of the year, where those alleys, even though they have people who need them for access to their homes, are unpassable. But that's the status of the alleys. It's kind of difficult.
Okay. Thank you. Anything? Anyone else? Okay. I entertain a motion.
I'm also taking note that many of our residents are on fixed income, such as Social Security. I noticed that the increase that's given to Social Security recipients for 2006 is 4.1%. And many of us that are wage earners receive less of an increase than 4.1%, even those that work. So I find that in my opinion, I would say that it seems to me that the amount that's requested is out of line. However, I do recognize that costs are increasing. I would tend to be more in favor of a rate on the order of a flat 4% increase rather than the suggested 4.67%. So, for purposes of discussion, I would move that we determine that 4% is a reasonable increase for the cost of the waste collection service.
I'll second that under those circumstances.
Okay.
Do we have that option?
We won't be within our contractual requirements.
If,
And so if we pass that, the garbage company, my understanding would be that they could pull out if they wanted to.
Well, there are two issues here that I think needs to be considered. One is that we have a contractual obligation to the year 2008 with the trash company. That rate setting procedure is not arbitrary. It's one that is established. If you've ever read the rate covenant, the rate setting process and methodology that's established by Bill Statler, and he has been here to our board to present it. It's very complex. It's not just a simple thing. So we do have a contractual obligation. The second issue is that if the garbage company says, well, whatever, it's going to come back. It's not, you know, it just that 0.67% just doesn't go away. You know, it'll be back again because they have a contractual internal rate of return which they're entitled to. Right now, as Mr. Martin has indicated, they are functioning basically 1 year behind. So as I said, I mean, those are the two things that need to be considered and I guess 0.67% of, I don't have a calculator, well, I guess I do. You want to give me a second, I can tell you what 0.67% is going to be to the average person.
4 or 5 pennies.
4 or 5? 4 or 5 cents. Okay, 4 or 5 cents. Because their current rate is 11.16, it would go to 11.68. Under 4%, it would be 11.63, 11.64. You know, it's not. I mean, I think the time to address this would be probably at the time that the contract is renewed in the year 2008. You know, we have set a procedure. I have checked the numbers. I mean, the math and the numbers all tie out. I know 1 year, and Director Angelo was here at the time when Mr. Martin and I had a differing of opinions as to, you know, what the rate adjustment will be. Also, we'll remind the board that our district is the only district, our only entity that 0.67% most likely just be added to the to the number if you know.
Well, going back to again the introductory letter here, it says the actual operating profit for rate making purposes was $493,137. The allowable profit from our 04 base year projection was $487,320. So it sounds to me like there's perhaps some room for adjustment there. I also don't have any disagreement with the math, but recall that the math is based on projected figures also.
Okay. Do you want to bring anything to this conversation?
No.
Okay.
Call the question.
All right. Let's have a roll call vote.
Okay. Director Hill?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
I don't know. I mean, it seems senseless to vote this in if it's not within our contractual responsibilities. I'm sure, like most contracts are written, if we have to go to court, the loser will pay the court costs, and mm-hmm. I know who that's going to be. Mm-hmm. So I really don't know.
Is that an abstention?
No, I don't think I can abstain. I'll have to vote no, I guess.
President Dahl.
Well, I think that that leaves us with that also possible option of those additional costs of a possible court. In the sense, if we're not going to be within our contractual agreement, or we're going to be spending a lot of time and energy, either finding different trash service or finding a, or we're going to go to a non-mandatory trash service. You know, I mean, I'm okay with that, but I think that as long as we're under being that this is tabled, we still not a problem.
Oh yeah,
no. Okay. All right. All right. Coming back to order. We have our presenter is now here for the report in 5A, the district audit. So if there's no exceptions or no one has any objection, then I'd like to go back to item 5 and open 5A up again. So we will now take the report. Mr. Cooney, you want to introduce this?
This evening we have Mr. Robert Crosby, a certified public accountant, who is our district auditor, to present the annual fiscal year ending June 30th, 05, district audit. Mr. Crosby.
We've got to stop meeting like this in the middle of tax season. Sorry I'm late. I had an appointment and we just got out at 6:30, so I hightailed it down here. Sorry to hear Gina's not feeling good. She didn't sound too good. I talked to her on the phone. The audit report. It seems like ages ago when we did this. There's no new surprises this year. You guys are a rather boring district compared to some of the other districts I'm doing right now. As far as the audit report's concerned, we're issuing a clean opinion. We've got one exception. I think it's a minor exception, and I'd like to see the district go this way eventually, but as far as the new requirements, there's a management analysis and discussion that a lot of the organizations are now including with their financial statements. This is a extra, it's not a required piece of information that's in the financial statements. However, it's recommended, so recommended. And as far as the district is concerned, it's probably one of the cleaner districts that I do. Although it took a little while to get going this year as far as getting the staff on the ball, as far as getting the audit statements and requirements done for me, as soon as we could free up their time, everything went really smoothly. And I'm appreciating every year it gets better as far as the number of journal entries that we have to do to correct the books to get them into the audited format are diminishing. So as far as the staff is their job, they're doing a great job. So I like to see that. I like to see progress when I'm doing these audits as opposed to some where everything just falls apart. You've got a great staff here, and everything was put together real nice. As far as the district is concerned, the new format has basically summed up the entity on two pages, page 4 and 5. I trust everybody had a chance to look at the financial statements. The district's balance sheet or statement of net assets indicates that the district is in a very strong position. The assets, this isn't broken down like a normal business, unfortunately, where they break down current assets, current liabilities, and we can do a quick ratio. But as far as the, if you look at the balance sheet, and just looking at the the current assets versus the current liabilities, you can kind of spot them on here because they go in order as far as current versus long-term. The district is looking good as far as doing a ratio of that sort. All the liabilities could be handled by the current assets, paying them out of cash if you wanted. Not that you want to do that, but the balance sheet is very healthy. I don't know if anybody has any questions while I go through this, but guess not. On page 5, statement of activities. This is another new format that's required with the new GASB pronouncements, but essentially it combines the whole district into a common format, accrual basis format, and it combines the government fund. It's pretty similar to the old format, and I don't remember if we did this for your, yes, we did. For this district, we have also broken out on supplemental statements at the back, starting at page 27, the actual enterprise funds to give you a further analysis as to how each one of those funds is doing. And it's just something that we like to do so that it's a better tool for the management to analyze the numbers. I don't know how much in depth you want to go here tonight, if you got other large items on the agenda. If you want me to talk all night, I can do that. You probably don't want to hear an accountant all night, especially after I've been doing tax returns all day. But I open that up for any questions.
Any from the board have anything?
Just on the report noting the board of directors, I'm interested because I can't make the officers jive with either the current set of officers or the set of officers that were in place as of the close of the audit. So I'm not sure how this is addressed.
This would be as of June 30th of 2005. We're almost up for the next audit, which is June 30th, 2006. So this is almost... Well, it's getting kind of stale as far as the numbers, but as far as the directors, these are the ones, it was my understanding, that's who they were. So if there's an error here, we need to correct that. But.
Okay. I believe that I was actually the president on June 30th of 05.
Somebody is leading me astray here, so we can fix that.
Staff will take responsibility for that mistake.
I don't have to fall on every sword, Mitch.
Sorry for the demotion down to director.
But oh, I like the demotion just fine. Thank you. Page 9 seems to have... Is there some missing data there? It talks about this change in net assets from the cost of the fire engine that was sold. And that, that figure wasn't given. I was just curious if that was $100 when we sold it, if I recall correctly.
It was $1,200.
$1,200. We see $1,200 in cash.
Right. So this is just a reconciliation between the government. It's kind of a reconciliation between the new statements and the old statements. So both would reflect the sale of the vehicle. So there's no reconciliation amount there. It would be just showing, since the governmental funds wouldn't necessarily show depreciation expense, that would be normally the difference. But since this was fully depreciated, we figured that we presented it, but there was no reconciliation amount. So that's why it shows zero there.
On page 11... under liabilities, total long-term liabilities, it looks to me like that should be $591,262, and it's stated as $1,337,000. I believe that's an addition error, but I think
that is probably a formula problem.
It looks to me like an addition.
Well, it looks like the total the long-term liabilities came out different. Let me see what we've got, because we've got another schedule in the back. Yeah, something Yeah, it should be 600 or 580 or 91,262. There's something wrong with that formula. Okay. Mitch was supposed to catch that when he reviewed it. I'm just giving Mitch a hard time. Yeah, that's good. Somebody, there's one more in there. No, I'm just kidding.
So I'm passing the test so far. let's see, we've got notes. The note on page 24, note 11, regarding the Lopez treatment plant. I guess that's...
It's kind of a note that we've carried over from prior years, just to explain the joint venture that you guys have with the State Water Project. If there's anything
the one comment I can make that this audit has already been in draft form sent to our contracting agencies. We have a deadline to submit those to our contracting agencies, and we did in draft form to the CCWA and the County of San Luis Obispo, to who we have a rate covenant to both of those agencies. So we have to submit our audit.
I presume we'll be following that up with a final copy of the audit.
But we had to meet the deadline. We have to prove that we're making our rate covenant.
I understand. I have no problem with that. On the fiduciary fund, I understand that we're holding something like $20,000 or $21,000 that should go to OCCI for the community center.
That is correct.
And that, does that get paid to them at the when they open the facility or at some... At some fixed point, I didn't see that broken out on here. It's just my is my question.
I believe, and I'll certainly defer to Mr. Crosby on this, but I believe that as far as the audit goes, it just has to be identified as to actually what the payment will be when the account is relieved or the cash is relieved from the account. Then it'll be identified at that time. My understanding is that those monies are being held for the submission of invoices from OCCI.
That's a coincident with my understanding. I just didn't see that number here anywhere, and it looked like with the fiduciary fund, you know, I kind of expected to see that spelled out, perhaps.
We have a footnote, and I'd have to look at the breakdown on this, but where we put restricted assets, is that what you're asking?
Basically, yes.
Okay. So I believe it's in that combination. I'd have to check, but I have it broken down as far as restrictions for future capital projects and fiscal agents. So... I can make
fiscal
sure that
agents, that's a term that I'm not clear on. Is that, what exactly is?
Fiscal agent would be cash held by another.
Such as a bank or a?
Well, it'd be like a, as far as there's some performance bonds that are held in a bank that are actually restricted. There's, I can't remember what else is in there.
Encourage the management to meet that GASB 34 provision of the management discussion. I concur with your comment and
right.
Hope that we would endeavor to meet that next year.
I think the reason that it wasn't done in previous years was that there weren't a lot of models out there because it's relatively new, but now a lot of people are doing it and it's pretty easy to get something off the internet that we could put in there as far as management analysis and discussion. That's something that management needs to do, and we can give you guidelines as to what can be put in there and examples, but it's management's ability to express their ideas in this financial statements.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Anything else? All right.
You might want to ask the public if they have any questions.
Okay, is there any public comment on this?
Of course.
Okay. Well, you know, I read your audit last year from cover to cover, so this year I was a little bit more familiar with your format.
Okay.
So first of all, I think that you're kind of minimizing the importance of auditing how your operations work. And although the federal government hasn't mandated that you do it, but they've politely asked that you do it. And so when they ask you politely, you do it. When they mandate it, then you get a little red flag next to your name under your permit record. So I would ask that the board ask for the supplemental audit, because I'll read you the language that under the GASB, you know, the general accounting principles is management has elected, and that that implies that we have something to hide, not to include a management discussion and analysis, which is not a required part of the basic financial state, some records, some archives. You know, they got tossed out by mistake. Now, when you audit how an office is run, right, you have a protocol. So if the protocol would have been, you know, the minutes are filed, they sit in that file drawer for a year, and then they're put on microfiche, and then they're put into an archive, we would have never lost those records. But until somebody went back and looked for those records, nobody realized that they were gone. Now, I think that we're in jeopardy of not having a corrective action saying we've correctified that problem. Still today, we haven't rectified the problem, so it can happen again. If you had audited how our office operates, you would have seen that there was a flaw in the protocol and that we had risk of losing records. And same with money, too. You know, when I read this, I have troubles finding where the building fees are, where the fines are, where, you know, things that aren't in an entire department. You know, and you can't really find that stuff unless you know how the system operates. And since, you know, we continually bypass looking at how our system operates, it's always a mystery. Another argument for, excuse me, for auditing, stopping what we're doing right now, do this supplemental audit, is because our general manager is under a contract. And when we do our next audit, our current general manager will no longer be under that contract. And so if we want to see how we're operating, I think it's of utmost importance to do it now, so we can rectify anything that might need to be shifted. Just like, you know, you can explain to people, you know, people who pick up the mail, people who open the mail, people who make out bank deposit slips, and people who actually drop the money at the bank should not be the same person in an administrative thing. So can you elaborate on that? And then also, too, as I noticed that compared to other small districts, our benefits, which I believe in giving retirement and all that, is somewhat more excessive than other districts. Can you talk about what the norm is on that? And then just tell me, do you audit the
districts? Do not have this management analysis and discussion. In fact, at this time, only two of them have it in. So, yes, I'd like to see it go in that direction. As far as missing any kind of audit steps here, again, it's something that management is including in the report, that they can add information that they want, including flow charts and analysis of the various different fees and that sort of thing. As far as describing every fee and property tax, these financial statements are not meant for that. They're meant to combine similar accounts. If we put every account in here, it would be very hard to read. So if there's a problem with one of the numbers that we have included here, which combines several accounts, they're all backed up. We have grouping schedules that we utilize to group them, and it'll indicate which accounts are in which category on the various lines of the financial statement. So as far as going over procedures, every year we go through an internal control questionnaire and we discuss the procedures. And in previous years, we've had management letter comments indicating that, yes, the district is small. Because it has limited numbers of employees, some of the internal control duties that would normally be segregated in an office can't be segregated in the office because it would cost too much just to hire extra people to do these extra duties. So as a result, they are doubled up. As a result of that, the management has to be aware that, yes, there could be problems in these areas. Yes, somebody might be able to manipulate the records so that they could benefit themselves. I think over a period of time, though, relatively short for this district, if somebody was doing that, it would be figured out rather quickly. So,
keep the talk of the audience down, please.
What's that?
Oh, it's just a lot of talk going on in the audience, and then we have it's interruptive.
And then so, there was another comment. What was the other?
No, that's fine.
Another question I have, and I don't think anybody's implying bringing on extra staff, and you can still do it. But I guess I know that Director Mann and Director Dahl is part of the finance committee, and they decide what portions of our finances we look at and what we don't. And so, you know. And earlier you said that there are districts that are looking at the administrative, meaning their daily operations, because, you know, some people are crooked and some people, it's not about money for me. It's about having a consistent way of doing things, you know, like following the rules. And if the rules are all over the place because it hasn't been audited, you don't know.
I think that you're painting a picture that we don't have any controls at the district, and I think that's not correct. I think that there's various situations during the day that would require only one person to be there, and of course somebody's got to be there to collect. And I think the system that the district has, it self-balances at the end of the day. They do dailies on all the collections, and if that doesn't tie out, then something's going to be out of whack as far as the rest of the financial statements. So I don't foresee a problem with the current internal controls of the district.
Have you ever been told anything to look at or not to look at by any of the committees?
None of the committees, no. Nobody's directed me into looking at any particular item that they have a concern over.
Is there anything you have not had access to?
No. I was aware that they were looking for minutes when I was down here, and they have had them archived, and I wasn't aware that any of them were missing. I do know that a lot of people have been going through the minutes, and they were taken out of their place and may not have been put back in the right place, but I'm not aware of anybody getting rid of any of the minutes.
On your draft, you said right here, management has elected not to include a management discussion and an analysis. And that we chose not to do any supplementary audits.
No, that's not what that means. So I don't see a problem with that. Any other questions?
And I just had one thing about the benefits.
Oh, the benefits, the benefits, we've got it listed under PERS, and that's the standard benefits that small districts like this participate in. And we have a separate footnote involving that. So I don't see anybody benefiting any more than any of the other small districts. That is in one, yes.
I had a question. Mr. Cooney said that this paperwork went to the powers that be, but if there's a few problems, you're going to correct those and send a second one. I think Director Hill had a question on some of the monies, and then you had the president wrong or whatever. And then this is a pretty skinny audit. All the ones I've ever seen is full, and everything's separate. I do want to say thank you for finally coming. There was a lot of people here in the past times that had to be tabled, and I think that was a little bit rude to do to the public. And was this a 3-year contract? I remember when the last board had Mr. Hayes, I think it was, I was here, and then they gave you a 3-year contract. So is this your third year?
This is the second year.
Second year.
Oh, we have one more. Okay. This is kind of late. I'd like to see it a little bit sooner, if possible. We're talking June. Now we're almost to April, so.
Okay, well, I can ask
late
you
for
as
me.
Soon as the information is ready for me. So
I know. Maybe we need to do the staff. And as far, and I agree with Mary, we've got plenty of staff that, wouldn't you recommend one person takes in the money, someone makes a deposit slip, and someone else deposits it?
I think that as long as the controls are there and that we're balancing out every day, I don't foresee a problem with the current controls that we have. As far as the audit being timely, yes, I'd like to get this in sooner. I do not like it to come into tax season. My day consists of appointments from 8 o'clock until right before I came down here. And as a result, I'm getting behind on other things that I could be working on now. As far as the thickness of the, and I think that my analysis is a little more in-depth than most other audits, so as far as thickness, I can make it thicker, but I think that if it's to the point, I think it's easier to read. And I'm impressed that Jim's reading it and checking on the typos. So that one number that's a typo, the total comes out, it's just a subtotal. So.
But then that would be corrected.
Oh, absolutely. So I don't like to see that because that reflects me because I did this. So I will take blame for that. I won't blame Mitch.
Just out of curiosity, I know every audit, whether it's a financial audit or other type of audit, usually involves some kind of a test basis. Do you have any idea or a guess as to how, you know, what percentage of records you looked at in terms of establishing the test basis?
What we do is an analytical review. So what I'll do is I'll go through, I take a balance sheet approach, go through and test everything on the balance sheet. Okay, everything is tested on the balance sheet. And my thought process there is if the balance sheet is correct at the beginning of the period and it's correct at the end of the period, everything should flow. Okay, so I do that. I get chastised by my auditor because he's saying you're doing too much work. But in a small town, I don't like to see anything go wrong with these districts. So that's why I do that. I do the extra work to make sure it's all correct. And then we go through each and every account in the income and expense category, and we look for any kind of fluctuations or just anything that I think looks important enough to look at. And if need be, I will go through every transaction in that account. And we had to do that because we had some differences this year, but everything worked out. And you can get a general idea as to how a district's doing or any kind of entity when, if there is a problem, you go to it and look for the problem, you find everything, and it balances out to the penny, and that's what I'm finding here. So
that's good.
Okay, anybody else, any other questions? Okay.
Receive and file.
Receive and file. Thank you.
All right,
thank you. Is that it gives us continuing jurisdiction rather than limited jurisdiction over the weed abatement process. And it also makes sure that all the properties are covered as far as notification goes. Property owners will have until June 14th, 2006, if your board approves the resolution and the attached fire hazard reduction schedule, to clear their properties. At such time, the district would employ a contractor to provide clearance of the lots which have not been abated. So the recommended action before your board is to approve the hazard reduction calendar by a board discussion, public comment, motion, second, and roll call vote, adopt the resolution, OCSD resolution 2006-7, schedule a public hearing for protests on June 14th, 2006 at 6:30 in this room, and direct staff to commence the mailing of the notices.
Okay, is there any public comment? Okay. Bring it to the board. Anybody at the board?
Is there is this where we would discuss the administrative fee or additional fee that the district establishes for clearing lots where there's non-responsive?
That's a good question. At this time, all we're doing is sending out notices to people to clear it. I'm trying to recall the card, and I believe it does talk about an administrative fee. So
my understanding or my recollection from past years was that the administrative fee of effectively 100% was added to the bill. I didn't see that anywhere, so I was just wondering if it was an oversight on here or if it was something that we picked up later on.
No, I believe that is our district standard, and I think it'll say that on the card that is mailed to each property owner. I will double check that. That's a good point. Good catch.
The second issue of concern is that specifically, again, this mentions weeds. There could be other flammable materials. One that immediately comes to my mind is eucalyptus debris, which is from everything I've heard is quite flammable, and it also has.
Okay, make your motion.
Okay. I will recommend that we adopt OCSD Resolution 2006-7, a resolution declaring weeds, eucalyptus debris, other flammable material on certain properties to be a public nuisance, that we schedule a public hearing for protests on June 14th, 2006 at 6:30 p.m. here in the boardroom, and that we direct staff to commence with mailing of the notices. Also, that our resolution declaring weeds be stated to say a resolution declaring weeds, eucalyptus debris, and flammable materials on certain properties to be a public nuisance. Continue that throughout the document.
Second.
Okay. Have some discussion on this motion. Is that wording going to cause us any legal problems that you're aware of?
Well, I don't think we can adopt a resolution which needs to be modified, so I think this will have to come back. We've got a change of word here. I don't think we can adopt it just based on we can certainly make recommendations to change it, but we can't. I don't think we can adopt a resolution that is that flawed.
All right. Then I guess the question to you, Jim, would be, do you want to adopt, is it acceptable as it is?
Well, I'm just concerned that this specifically states weeds.
Okay.
And it doesn't allow for any other kind of flammable hazard.
Yeah.
And that seems to me to be a defect in the resolution as printed.
Okay. So that being said, would you like this to come back at another time to where that can be done, the where those things can be considered?
I would prefer to do that, yes.
Okay. Is that going to cause us a problem time-wise in the in this fire reduction program?
It'll certainly shorten things up because this now we won't get started till April 12th. We can't mail out notices prior to April 12th is our next meeting.
Pretty wet winter, too.
I'll also have to check with these codes. I don't know if Fire Chief Steinhauser knows what these codes actually say. I mean, I have read them, but I can't exactly recall if they only speak to weeds or if they actually speak to resolution could be pretty flawed, and if it is, then we shouldn't be adopting it.
Yeah. I guess we could do that and come up with a new resolution, and is there going to be any kind of period that this is going to have to go through other than just a normal resolution since it's being changed now? Or would we want to adopt this and then come back with some additions to it later on?
Well, what the board has to do is the board has to establish its authority, and this is what the resolution does. It establishes authority over the fire hazard reduction program. So this resolution is somewhat key to the entire operation, because without adoption of the resolution, you do not establish your authority to participate in the program. So we're going to have to, if the resolution needs to be changed, we need to adopt a resolution which is adoptable.
If we take this out two more weeks, is that going to be a problem for the fire department or for the district as far as the weed control issue is concerned?
The only problem that we could run up against and what we kind of run this backwards to is the county's deadline for getting the assessments on the county assessment roll. And their deadline at this time is estimated to be August 25th. So we need to get the, we need to have our protest hearing. We need to send out our invoices and all that. So somewhere along the line, I'm going to have to rework this thing somehow to somehow shorten up the time. As you can see, some of these deadlines fall right after another. If you look on page one of the fire hazard reduction schedule, to put this off for a couple of weeks certainly is not going to make it any easier. But if we miss the deadline of August 25th, we basically waived all those properties, waived collection for all those properties whose the property owner did not abate the property. And if I can recall correctly, and maybe Director Angela, who's familiar with this, might help me out here, but I think it's like $4,500 last year that came to like $9,000 that we billed out on the property tax roll. Is that?
I think it was a lot more than that. We had one that was $6,500.
Oh, yeah, okay. Then you may be right. I'm sorry, I don't know that number. But without the adoption of a resolution, so if we adopted the resolution, which is flawed, with the intent of bringing it back, it could, basically somebody could challenge that somewhere in July, and the whole program's thrown out. They could say, you didn't adopt your resolution, you didn't introduce the proper authority to be involved in the weed abatement process. So therefore, that everything you've done after that was flawed and therefore is not operable. So I believe that if we're going to do, we have to do this correctly. We just, what we're telling people is they have to do something. And if they don't do it, we are going to have to do it for you. And there is a penalty if we have to do it for you. And I think that to accept that authority, we need to do it correctly. We can't adopt a resolution which substantially changes in the future. I'd love to say sure, but
well, we're up against the timeline, and we want to make sure that these items are included in this. I think they probably are, but it's just the wording is a little bit off here. Because it's any fire hazard. Isn't that your understanding, Mr. Cooney? Is it any fire hazard for reduction, whether it's just weeds?
I would have to review the
codes.
Compensation codes. I know the lab rate's more than just muted.
Okay. So are we too late for this? Maybe we should work on this for the following year?
I don't know that. I would be very disturbed if we abandoned this program for a year. I think we
No. I'm talking about the things you want to bring into it, not abandoning the program. But if we set this off for another 2 weeks, it's going to cause some problems with the schedule, the timeline schedule in here, and possibly some problems with the collecting of the or the problems with the whole program happening. Is that correct?
It's actually 3 weeks.
3 weeks, okay. So, and you're wanting to add these, the wording in here, to include eucalyptus leaves and debris. Okay.
Well, I noticed that the last couple dates here might be instructive. July 21st is we submit the list of APNs, so forth. And
pollution as is what has taken us through the fire hazard reduction for the past, at least as I've been here, which is almost a decade. Okay. So, you know, I don't know if it's been flawed.
Did you not mention earlier that you haven't looked at the new fire codes or?
Well, I have not read them in light of putting this resolution together. I have read them at some point, but I have not read them, recently.
So. Would they might have changed in the last few years?
I don't believe they have changed to the point where the code sections would have been modified or anything in the resolution as is being incorrect. So they may have added verbiage and wording and things like that, but I don't believe that the resolution on its face would be considered incorrect.
So what would you suggest at this point? How do we...
Well, this is a policy decision of the board. The board is the ones who enter into a situation as far as becoming involved, taking control of the to provide fire protection services. The state of California allows, and basically, if you read the code section, it says board of supervisors. But every time you says board of supervisors, read board of directors. I mean, it's the same thing. Because the code doesn't differentiate, it just says board of supervisors. In this stead, it'll say, you have to interpret it that it says board of directors, because you have your own fire department. I'm sorry, I forgot the question. All I can say is that we can certainly look at it. I'm not opposed to spending a lot more time doing that and looking at it. This is a sort of standard at this point. The one thing that you potentially may be doing is not having a weed abatement program for this year. If it's not feasible to get done, because it could be challenged. There are people who do challenge weed abatement.
Well, worst case scenario, by waiting, would just be that we couldn't put it on the table.
Okay. Then if staff is comfortable with that, I am too.
We'll just table the item.
Unless there's any objection.
I'd like to have a public comment before you table it.
Okay, we're past public comment, but I'll allow it this time.
You didn't have public comment on this item.
Yes, we did.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. One question is, I don't know why this is getting to you always at the last minute. I would think that staff should maybe get it here in a little more timely fashion, so if there were questions. I think those eucalyptus things that were cut down last year and left across the street did cause us a lot of grief. I read lots of newspaper articles, and I have it. And also, there was a question about how we billed for that weed abatement. And there was an amount that didn't get billed I think Mr. Cooney was going to rebill them. Did we ever get our money? If not, that was a substantial amount that we lost. So I think even if you lose this year, you have to wait till next year. I'd rather be safe than sorry, so that it doesn't get weed abated and left as a fire hazard or erosion control or whatever it was listed as last time.
Okay, thank you. All right, so we're tabled on this, unless there's any objections.
Mr. President?
Yes.
If you'd like to take a short break, I could find the safety code section and bring it back to you.
We don't need to take a break if you don't want. We could just table. We could just skip this item over and just keep moving on if you want to.
Okay, move on to the next several items and then come back to this. Is that what you'd like?
Whatever you'd like. Whatever. It's your pleasure, obviously, but I could go research these codes real quickly.
Okay, so if these codes include any other debris or any other fire hazard, and the resolution still states weeds, is that acceptable to you, Director Hill?
Well, I'd like to see that. Again, my problem with it is the limitation to weeds when there's other flammable vegetation.
Okay,
and fire hazard
material. If the code includes other vegetation, other items besides weeds, and this
and should follow that.
Okay, so
he went out to research the code.
We can get some copies so we could all take a look at
it. It doesn't sound like that is going to satisfy everyone on the board then, even if the ordinance does show that it's other material besides weeds. So we can find out, but and we can come back to this item when the fire chief comes back.
Okay. Maybe we could have the fire chief make a copy of the ordinance for us.
That's fine. We can do that after the meeting and give it to us. If there's no objections, since the fire chief is out of the room, I want to move past the fire items and move on to item 8A, and we'll come back to item 7 later in the meeting. Okay, so we're moving on to item 8A.
Okay, this is a continuing disclosure concerning the cleaning inspection of the district sewer and water lines. The recommended action by your board is by board discussion, public comment, motion, second, and roll call vote. Determined by 4/5 vote that there is a need to continue the action. Tonight it'll take a unanimous vote of the four of you.
So moved.
Okay. All right. Do I have a motion? Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Public comment. Okay. Hearing none. Any comment? Questions from the board? Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
President Dahl?
Yes. Okay. Item number 9A, financial statements.
Okay, before you this evening are the district's financial statement. As you can see, we're in a very good shape. One of the things that you'll notice here is the under the revenue on page 1 of 3, the water fund and the sewer fund, we're on a bi-monthly billing cycle. So the bills will go out at the end of March, March 31st. The next billing cycle will go out. And so the next time you see this, is the percentage will be in excess of what the annual lapse of the year is.
Okay.
So right now we're at $49,677. Put an item in your agenda package requesting that if there's anything specific that the board would like to have us include or consider during the preparation of this year's 2006-2007 budget document, if you'd let us know. This is not your only opportunity to do so. You know, you can call us, you can send us an email or whatever the case may be, and just let us know that you have a particular thing that you'd like us to
to address during the course of budget deliberations. So this could be a time that you might have something you want to add, or you could add it at a later time. I have included in this report the goal-setting meeting from January 24th, 2005. As you can probably see, we have made substantial progress along a lot of these lines. And hopefully we'll be able to complete some of them. Some of them are completed, and we'll get to add new ones.
Okay. Any public comment on this item?
One of the interests I'd like to see is, I don't know if it's on there, I don't have one of the packets with it on there, but stormwater diversion and then possibly getting these alleys cleaned up. We mentioned providing some money out of the budget for picking up couches and tires and cars or whatever that are in the alleyways, getting those cleaned out, things of that nature, things that are promoting our community so that other people want to come here.
Okay, before you step down, could you state your name and...
Oh, Andrew Province, Oceano.
Okay, and I didn't hear the first item you were mentioned that you'd like to see happen.
Oh, man, I forgot.
I couldn't quite understand it. A little bit of background noise.
I got to remember now. I'm sorry.
Stormwater
diversion, that's it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, any other public comment? Okay. Bringing it to the board.
A couple of things on here. We've got the fine money for the fire department. It seems to me that that's an ongoing necessity. We've failed to get any money from the beach to meaningfully support the fire department. We've had a total failure of collecting public facility fees. So that is something that I think is becoming approaching critical mass here, that we need to find some additional sources of funds for the fire department. Rate increase due to Lopez Water Treatment Plant. We've just been slammed with that. I did discuss yesterday before the Board of Supervisors the impact on our ratepayers and ask if there was anything the county could do to possibly ameliorate that dramatic impact on our ratepayers. Hopefully I'll have some follow-up with County Public Works and continuing with the Board of Supervisors on that. The additional water well on the east side of town, that's a success. I believe we have a site, is that not correct, Phil, for that? That one came about fairly rapidly and was successful. A park site, that's something that's another desperate need in the community on the east and north of Highway 1. There are no park sites whatsoever, and that's something that we really seriously need. That's another critical mass in my judgment, and I would hope that we could advocate more strongly before the Board of Supervisors to provide funds for a park on this side of town. Earthquake repairs to the sewer system, that's a success. I'm glad to see that has happened. We've got the money from the emergency money, some of it's come in already, others that we're pursuing thanks to the efforts of the general manager and staff. So that's a success as I see it. Again, we've got obtained money from beach or state park, public facility fees, that hasn't happened. Identify other jurisdiction responsibilities that OCSD can advocate for improvements. Zone 1-1A, I think we've advocated well, and hopefully that will see success as they go to the 2-8 certification for the water department. We've had some success there. obtain the PEGs from the county for televising the meetings. I would hope that that is headed our way. And the bilingual access issues, I think we've had some success there. So it's a mixed bag. We've had some successes, we've had some progress made, and we've had some abject failures. So I would like to see, as we go forward, focusing again on some of these issues that are chronic problems. More money for the fire department. Park on the east side of town. Trying to get money for the beach to offset the impact on the community. And advocating, again, for Zone 1, Zone 3, and with Parks and Rec. So those are the things I'd like to see as we proceed further.
So the changes in this, then, is just more advocacy for Zone 3?
That's a significant one, yes.
Okay.
I believe there's still, it seemed to me from the reaction of the Board of Supervisors yesterday that there was some interest that might be stirred in terms of perhaps something that they could do to try to ameliorate those rates for some of our ratepayers as might be possible.
Yeah, I'm sorry I interrupted you. What you were going to say, Mr. Cooney?
With all due respect, Jim, I did see your presentation, and we have a saying here at OCSD, if a guy from the county in a suit shows up and tries to tell you your position is incorrect, be real sure that your position is well-founded. I think what you're going to get is you're going to get Pavel Olgren to present to you some numbers that are, you know, nothing to do. That is not the level at which we need to address this. I think that President Dahl was at the last Zone 3 meeting, and I think he's going to have some comments about that. The other issue is, as far as a park identification site, I think that Vice President Bookout has done fairly well in that area. And one of the things that we have as far as something that we can present to the county is if they build it, we'll maintain it. One of the things that the county is concerned with, as one of their concerns is that, you know, ongoing cost. Finding money to do something once is not as difficult as finding the maintenance money and something that goes on year after year after year. Other agencies, we were successful. I believe that this district was successful in negotiating the repaving of out of sequence of North Wing, Juanita, and
McCarthy,
and also we're dealing right now with the potential of long shot potential, but a potential of repaving Strand.
They also, with the park situation, the county has just come out within the last couple weeks or so with their study, and that's a study that, you know, it's taken years to come out with as far as for parks within Oceano. So when they're involved in that study, they're not going to be doing something as far as parks are concerned until that study is finished. So it's now's the time that is right to pursue that. And prior to that, there was not much, you know, there was much ability to move the county on anything as far as parks is concerned in this community.
That's something that also we might pursue grant funds and other sources, not just the county, to perhaps help with that. And you suggested the ongoing maintenance. That's something else we'll have to find funds for. Perhaps if we could get some money from the beach, that might be a possible source of funds. I know that's been very difficult to achieve, but.
And that is an ongoing, it's not something that's been tabled or shelved. It's ongoing. The discussions are ongoing. They're not moving anywhere, but the discussions with the state people continue. The public facility fees are scheduled for the Board of Supervisors agenda for April 25th. I believe that's a Tuesday. One of the holdups is that Oceano requested public facility fees for drainage and streets, and those are issues that were determined, and this is what took so long that they, you know, have to run it through there, and that you're dealing with a large organization, and I believe they dealt with it well. The county looked at it, and these are issues that are not countywide in nature, drainage and streets, whereas all the other issues that are dealing with the public facility fees are countywide in nature. They are adopting ordinances or putting in place ordinances.
I make no apology for asking for specific improvements in Oceano, such as drainage, street improvements, things like the sidewalks on some of the lateral streets out from the elementary school, because those are needs in our community. And they're not, if it's fine if they're not a countywide thing, and it's fine with me if it takes them a little extra time to draft the proper ordinance that would establish the fees to be collected for that, because that's the only way our problems are going to be solved.
Yes, but that doesn't make the items that have not been completed yet failures. They're just still in the works. We've also, county has just put in a sidewalk around the Boys and Girls Club down here.
Correct.
So they're, you know, they are, we're getting our share out of the county, that's for sure, compared to other communities.
I think one of the things that I probably need to know is where are our priorities as far as grant monies go. I've got several grant requests in for community block grant development. One is for alley maintenance, one is for alley paving. But if there's something that this board feels is a more of a priority, please let me know. And, you know, I'll take anything I get, of course, but I mean, I don't want to.
Well, my view on alley paving is it's a mixed bag in that any impermeable surface is going to increase runoff and cause problems because we don't have any drainage system here. So I think we're, you know, curb gutter and sidewalk is good and alley paving is good if it was part of an overall strategy that involved drainage and solving the whole complexity of the thing rather than just trying to piecemeal it, because ultimately we'll have all of these nice works in place such as paved alleys and curb gutter and sidewalk, but we won't have any way to get rid of the water, and then we'll have to tear it all up to put the drainage collection system in. So those are just, and that's not intended to be disparaging of anyone, certainly not our staff, certainly not the county public works or county staff, because you're right, there's been lots of people put a lot of time and effort in with limited funds and limited resources to try to solve some of these problems. But I'm glad to see that, and Vern, your comment is well taken, that,
you know, community enhancement and acquiring money from the state for Oceano, that's something we really need to push a little farther forward. There was when Oceano was founded, it was called like the Lost City of Atlantis initially started off. Well, on Highway 1, we have a sidewalk, a good portion of Highway 1 towards Grover Beach, which is lost. I mean, it's underneath this ice plant, and there's no maintenance. All that sand comes off the beach, and it goes right onto this, what used to be a sidewalk. And for safety of our citizens, I mean, enhancement of our community, there's a lot we can do for our community. And just getting more involved with the county, requiring more of the county, and requiring more of the state. We need to move forward and enhance our community. Matter of fact, I think it's time we have another community enhancement meeting.
Okay. Anything else?
Basically, what staff's asking is if we have any priorities to get a hold of you.
Yeah. If there's anything else, what you want to know is if there's anything else you want added to it now, or call you if you want to add it later, or if you want to change.
Budget will be here June. Mm-hmm. You know, it has to be adopted by the last meeting.
So,
as there always is, individual meetings with directors to go over the budget, preliminary budget. So, I mean, you know, and again, remember, a budget is only a blueprint. It's only a map. It's not, you know, it's not a balance sheet. you know. Mm-hmm. And as things come up during the course of the year, obviously monies need to be moved and, or can be moved. So it's not, you know, this is, it's not like you get one shot at it and that's June, you know, 20, whatever it is. So.
Yeah, it's not what is spent, it's what's projected to be spent, what's projected to come in. Okay. You know, I'm fairly satisfied with the, I'm extremely actually satisfied with what's happened this year with staff. And, you know, the priorities, you know, I'm fine with what you've been doing and with what, with the things that are going on, you know, continue to go on with the, with exactly as you have it here. As far as my part is, continue to work on these items. There's
what they rejected was a ballot. And my understanding is, and this was before my time, but what was rejected as far as a ballot measure to do an assessment for parks and recreation, not
okay.
not the powers to do parks and recreation,
just the taxing. Right. The ability yeah. to tax
the tax increase, a tax assessment yeah. increase for Parks and Rec. That was a ballot measure that was rejected by the voters.
Thank you. My second question is, how can you expect the county to give you parks money when Oceana Community Services is going before the Parks Commission tomorrow to plead for $100,000, and you know you can't have both. So you guys are going to have to decide. I mean, I don't think the county is going to give you another $200,000 or another $1 million for another park when you're already consuming a share of the county's money for other projects.
If I could address that.
Please.
The idea to present this money to the community center is the county's idea. I don't believe that it would be beneficial for us to debate with the county how they want to spend their money. I think what we're asking them for is for a totally separate issue, and that is for money to build a park on the east side of Oceano. We're not talking about this. This transfer of the Quimby money was originated through the county. It was developed by the county, and it was promoted by the county. And as I said, I think it'd be counterproductive. I think that we would probably do ourselves more damage than good by arguing with the Department of General Services over how they want to allocate their money. I think that if we saw the merits of their reasoning on this, they might have more of a tendency to see the merits of our reasoning on other issues. If we debate with them on everything that they want to do, I think they'll move on, find somebody else. Mm-hmm. That's my thinking. I mean, it's not something we went in and asked for. The Department of General Services, this is their recommendation, and I think all we're doing is supporting that recommendation, and I don't think it precludes us from going to the county and saying that we are very interested in a park on the east side of Oceano, and we have something to throw into the mix if this park were to be developed. How can you help us?
And I'm meeting with CACHO at 10 a.m. tomorrow up at San Luis Obispo regarding parks.
You're viewed as being cooperative and part of the overall organization and the team effort, and I think that's important. I sincerely do, and I think you've done a good job on that, Drew.
Just one quick comment on
Before we keep going with the board, we're in public comment right now. We've gone back to public comment, so let's go back to finish that up.
Thank you very much. I would like to make a correction. The Oceano Advisory Council, which is correctly known as now, did a review and a vote to determine whether $100,000 or more would be diverted from County Parks and Rec to go to the community center. And the question was asked, was the $1.8 million from Coast National enough to finish the project? And Ms. Carey said, yes, that was enough. But that this request for the additional $100,000 would mean that they would not have to draw from that credit line. For the record, only Mr. Bookout and myself voted in favor of keeping that $100,000 or more to go to a park Mr. Cooney voted against that. He voted in favor of diverting that money, and it's a matter of record, it's on tape, to the community center. So I just wanted to make that as a matter of record.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other public comment? Okay. Back to the board now. Jim.
Thank you. The comment was made that about the county spending their money. It's like, excuse me, but we're the taxpayers here, and we may pay our taxes to the county, but they have an obligation to spend it back in this community. That's our money. That's not their money. And I think we should, we have every right to help determine how that money's spent and what projects it's spent on. And I'm somewhat distressed that your previous comment, though, is also correct, that it does seem that there were agreements made by the county in prior years, probably before your time, certainly before mine, that may have earmarked that money. I also have, you know, some reservation about that.
Budget process, mm-hmm. And we will be certainly accepting all comments, not only from the board, of course, but any public comments that anyone wishes to give us.
Okay, great. So there's no decision to be made on this one. You just move on.
This is just basically information, letting you know that we're starting. We'll certainly take the. We can move back to item 7. I have some information here.
Okay, we're back to 7A.
7A.
Okay.
The code section, health and safety code section, reads, whenever weeds are grown upon any street, sidewalk, or private property in the county, the Board of Supervisors by resolution may declare the weeds a public nuisance. The resolution shall refer by name under which it is commonly known to the street, highway, and road. We've covered that by saying that it's everybody. So we've identified the entire district. But it only says weeds. The code sections... and it talks about if it's a recurring or unrecurring. In the case of weeds, which have been previously declared to constitute a significant recurring nuisance, it is sufficient to mail a postcard to the owner of the property. Anyway, it only specifies weeds.
So does that mean that the I think only authority that...
That's the authority that this district has, yes.
Okay. So we have no authority over anything else?
No.
Okay.
Well, that being the case, then I would withdraw my previous discussion on broadening the scope of that to include other flammable material besides weeds, and I would adjust the motion if it's acceptable to the rest of the board, and certainly the second, that the resolution be adopted as shown.
Okay. We have a new motion.
I'll amend my second.
Okay. I think that's done. I think that's done.
Right. And all the other items were covered. Okay. The other four were covered. Or three were covered, excuse me.
All right. Any additional discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Dahl?
Yes.
Act. That has been changed in the contract. So tonight, the recommendation before your board is by board discussion, public comment, motion, second, and roll call vote. Adopt OCSD Ordinance 2006-2, an ordinance establishing fire department fees and charges. Direct staff to publish the ordinance as required by statute. And approve the agreement between Covenant Building Corporation and OCSD and authorize the president of the board to sign the agreement on behalf of the district.
Okay, public comment? All right, bring it back to the board. Questions? Comments? Okay, the fact that the wording has been changed here. Was that covered well enough when it was introduced, or does the ordinance not
address the agreement between the covenant billing and the district? The ordinance only establishes fees under which the covenant billing corporation will have to operate.
All right. So nothing we need to worry about as far as verbiage would change for the introduction? Okay.
The ordinance is exactly as introduced.
Okay. Great. Anything else? Anybody else? Someone want to make a motion?
I think this satisfies everybody's concerns with the insurance billing. I would move to pass ordinance 2006-2, recovery of insurance money.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Roll call vote, please.
Does that also include the approval of the agreement between Covenant?
Yes.
Okay. Vice President Bookout, does your second include that? Okay, thank you. Okay, Director Angelo?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
And President Dahl?
Yes.
I guess just parenthetically, I'll make a comment that this is an increase. This is money going to the fire department, and also the rental of the old fire station would be money. So those issues about getting additional money for the fire department, we do have two success stories there. So.
Yes, thank you. Okay.
Progress is being made.
So noted.
Mr. Cooney?
I could just mention that the Board of Supervisors is taking it up on August 25th.
April 25th.
Okay. All right. Moving on to reports by district representatives. Zone 1A is moving forward. They've been doing some creek walks, working on a flyer and the verbiage on a flyer to go out to all the people that will be voting. The vote is going to take place on June 6th. So that's what's going on there. And at the Airport Land Use Commission, most of the meeting was oriented toward Oceano. The Oceano draft for the Oceano Airport Land Use Plan is now out as of this last meeting, which was on March 15th. And it has just a few addendums to it for spelling and verbiage and so. The desire of the Airport Land Use Commission is to involve the public in getting public input, which they will be doing in this area. The draft is available for review, I believe, can get it at the county. Maybe we can get a copy.
We have a copy here.
I asked for one, but I didn't know if it came in or not. So we have a copy here at the district for the public to come in and review. This is a rather important process that's going through because it will affect how land can be developed around the airport, and around the airport is a fairly good size area. The review is one thing that, you know, if you're developing something or thinking about developing something around that airport, you're going to be coming before this commission, and they will be determining whether it's going to be consistent with this new airport land use plan. A project that was brought to the commission, which was a 1,300 square foot of retail and storage space on the first floor, right on Pier Avenue. And On the second floor, there were going to be two vacation rentals that would be above this unit with a little bit larger square footage due to the fact that it comes out over a parking area. And this is pretty consistent with what is already in the area, but not consistent with what the plan for development was in the in this part of Oceano, and so it ended up with a 4-3 vote of being inconsistent. So that leaves this developer with a problem as far as developing that piece of property into something that they were planning on doing. I guess the staff from the Airport Land Use Commission is said he was going to be at the last Oceana Halcyon meeting to talk to them about this, and I don't know if he made it or not.
If I could just add to that, he did attend, and I believe we have his feeling that the development of this kind is, you know, should be allowed on Pier Avenue because it, you know, I mean, in order to develop Pier Avenue, that's what it's going to take. I think that that was the sense I got out of his discussion last evening. And he is the staff to the, this is Bill Robinson, he is the staff to the Airport Land Use Commission. So it appears that we do have some leeway. And I do know a couple of the commissioners personally that I will sit down with and discuss, you know, this particular issue with, because without allowing for second-story residential, I'm not quite sure how we're going to be developing Pier Avenue. Do you have any?
Yeah, the
Trailer park project down there is not going to be consistent either, and they've been planning that for quite some time.
Right.
Maybe we could move the airport out of Oceano.
Well, it's in the process of reviewing the land use plan around the airport. Whether it becomes more stringent or less stringent or strict as far as development is concerned, you know, that remains to be seen. But there is going to be a public review, and that's going to be held here in Oceano somewhere, probably here in this room. And then after the review is done and the input from the public is made, then the commissioners will go back and they'll review that input, and they may or they may not add it into the review or the airport land use plan or not. I don't know. You know, that'll kind of depend on what they do with that within their own commission. But when that does come up, you know, if you're interested in what you can do with your land in a good portion of Oceano, that's the meeting that would be important to attend. Okay, so that's it for the Airport Land Use Commission. Zone 3, well, that's a story in itself. Zone 3 is, you know, we get some problems with Zone 3 in the sense that, you know, we meet every other month, so a director that's assigned to this is basically sits in 6 meetings, and then that's over with, which isn't hardly enough time to get acclimated to what's going on. And I think that's true for the cities as well, and then there's some rural areas that also have representatives. And so we have basically staff pretty much saying what they want to do and coming and telling us what they want to do, and we have no authority over what they're going to do. It's all the Board of Supervisors' authority. And I guess at that point, then they go back to the Board of Supervisors and say they ran it by us. And so there's some inherent problems from the way I see it, as far as accountability for what's being spent over there. We got a water tank that's being redone, and it's, you know, it's come to us with the basic, basically being told that this is what's going before the supervisors, and it's recommended to be approved. You know, and this is pretty much the first I heard of it. Now, it may have been something that's come up on the past Zone 3's meetings before I was on there. I don't know. And I don't know if you remember anything about it.
I think that's, you're talking about a water tank at the water treatment plant?
Yeah.
I think that's
fresh water tank. Yeah. So, let's see. I think we're, you know, it's kind of had the feeling to a degree we're kind of just a rubber stamp down there. We're informed of what goes on, but that's about all we really happens. Now, you were at the meeting, Mitch, and, you know, if you want to add to this, that would be great. And I'd appreciate it any other times that you can come to this meeting, because...
Well, I think the initial point you made is the crux of the issue, is that we have a sanitation district that they meet every 2 weeks. We have a Zone 3, which is considerably larger, much more expensive, that meets every other month. Mm-hmm. I really feel that if there, you know, one of the things that needs to happen is that the meetings need to be a little more, there needs to be more meetings. There needs to be, so that the issues that are brought before, for example, the issue of the water tank, that's another $285,000 unbudgeted dollars that were added to the Zone 3 budget. There's, you know, that's not spoken for anywhere, and it was just, you know, it was sort of presented. I mean, I think that if the meetings were held more often, that the development of these things could be brought up before the board. I mean, the first question should have been asked is, what happens if you don't do it? I mean, what if you don't spend the $285,000? I mean, you know, I don't know what the background was as far as, you know, how many times it was discussed before, but the only other meeting that they had was January. So, I mean, that is one of the issues. One of the other things that concern me, and I'm trying to get a meeting together, and since we have more than two directors who want to attend it, I'm going to work with Alex Seamus, our district legal counsel, to come up with the protocol to establish this meeting so we can discuss specifically Zone 3. One of the issues is brought up that, you know, I'm having trouble getting my mind around is that when they shut down the water treatment plant for about, from my understanding, mm-hmm. is 6 months or something like that, or 6 weeks, or there's some period of time that they actually shut it down, that State Water will be providing water to Aurora Grande, Grover Beach, Oceano, and Pismo Beach. Well, I guess my question is, what State Water? Grover Beach and Aurora Grande don't have any entitlement to State Water. How is this happening? I mean, who's making this decision? I mean, maybe it can be made, but I think that there are certain parties, Oceano and Pismo Beach, they're paying for State Water. If our State Water is going to be used for a period of time, and I'm sorry, I don't know exactly what that period of time is, should there not be some compensation towards those of us who are providing this resource? It's sort of like, you know, if Bill's car doesn't work, I don't know if Bill has the right to come over and take mine, you know. So, you know, I'm not trying to be facetious about
it,
but
your point is right on the mark.
Very good.
I mean, that was just one of the things that was brought up. It was sort of like, you know, I mean, it was just sort of like in a long list of discussed items that, you know, it was, I mean, a bell went off in my head. I said, you know, how can this be? I mean, I know how it physically can be. I mean, there's no problem physically doing it, but... Where's everything that connects?
Yeah, the schedule for Zone 3 was designed for a time when the dam just sat there and occasionally collected some water, and occasionally some was let out, and the water treatment plant just kind of cooked along. And it might have been, every other month might have been fine for something like that. But when you got a major league, as you correctly characterize it, the biggest project going in this area, and the lack of oversight there is just stunning to me. Our questions ought to be along the lines of why wasn't this tank budgeted in the original project? All of this stuff that just comes down and gets dumped on our ratepayers out of the blue because somebody thinks it's a good idea. I think Director Bookout, myself, Vice President, or Director Mann have all indicated an interest in the meetings that you mentioned, and I'd like to go forward with that.
Well, those are in the planning stage, and they will be in the immediate planning stage. But I think that to make any kind of concrete changes in this, what we need to do, if we're interested in concrete changes, if anyone is interested in concrete changes, we have to be in concert with our other members of Zone 3. You know, the other cities, because we won't be able to move forward on our own. I mean, it was very easily brought up if we didn't like, or anybody didn't like, it wasn't we, if anybody didn't like the financing plan for the water treatment plant, they were more than welcome to go out on their own. Well, you're going to have to hire somebody a lot more intelligent than me to come up with a financing plan for a water treatment plant for Oceano Share, because you're talking about bond counsel, you're talking about all kinds of stuff that I've never had any dealings with. We can't go out on our own. That is not an option to individually to do that. I mean, that I would never bring that back before.
Well, we don't operate the sewage treatment plant by ourselves either. We have partners in that in Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande, and that, as you correctly characterized, operates very well. It's locally overseen, and there's a line of accountability directly to the jurisdictions involved. It doesn't exist with Zone 3.
Yeah, so, they weren't talking about us running our own water treatment plant. They were talking about us financing the one that's there on our own.
They didn't suggest we. I'm sorry. Yeah. If I said that or indicated that, I misspoke. No, they talked about the financing plan.
Right.
They said, and it was just, again, in conversation. It wasn't, it wasn't like, what do you guys think? It's just sort of like, here's the financing plan. I mean,
it was a lot of here it is.
Yeah. I mean, the budget was presented in 3 minutes. Yeah. I mean, literally. That was the, we're talking about a pretty large budget. Now, I really believe that the people who are running Zone 3 from the county standpoint are highly intelligent people. They are extremely intelligent people. But the bottom line is that you guys get stuck with the dinner tab, and you never even get invited to the party.
Yeah, there's no accountability. Exactly. There's and three out of the five people voting on it have no constituents in the district that it serves. Receive money off of it in their district.
Flaws. And I congratulate the expertise of the people that do run that, and the county staff are in that way to be commended. But on the other hand, if you let somebody go that has no budget accountability and just tell them you can build the nicest project you want, funds are unlimited, and that's basically what's been happening here, you're going to get a Cadillac. And
well, I think the other issue is that it's overstated that I heard this yesterday on the Board of Supervisors agenda, that, we brought it all to the Zone 3 Advisory Committee. Well, yeah, but I mean, at least while I was there, I was really kind of taken aback by the depth of knowledge that the people who are the decision makers, and I'm not certainly putting anyone down as far as, like, President Dahl and Bill Robinall and all those folks, but the information that they had available to them to make these decisions, a $280,000, you guys didn't make a $280,000 decision tonight.
Didn't make one then either.
Well,
all they can do even in the event is to advise. And that advice may not be always taken.
I mean, it was already due to go to the Board of Supervisors.
It was already on the board's
agenda. With a recommendation to approve.
Yeah.
You know, and we just heard about it.
And I have a lot of respect for Dean Benedict. I think he's an extremely intelligent man. But I think that the issue is as far as this $265,000, $285,000 water tank goes, is that if he was going to have a bid opening, he needed to coincide that bid opening with a Zone 3 meeting so that he could get a decision made by the Zone 3 people. I mean, that's simple. I mean, it is apparent, just, you know, inherent in the system, that it is sort of like, this is what we did, rather than, what do you guys really think? And I think that when you have a chance to sit down with some of the other Zone 3 players, that we need to see, or if you're interested, need to see if there's some kind of evolution that can take place that will give the Zone 3 body more concrete information to deal with. Meet more often, have directors who are assigned to this thing for multi-year periods rather than just a single. I mean,
well, we've done that here by, you know, just by practice. But you know, anytime we change our president yearly, and that practice can be cut off at any point in time, and then you got in a whole new learning curve. And well, six having meetings in a year doesn't give you much time to learn what's going on and be an active participant in that thing.
Six meetings a year, not to be too facetious about this, but you probably will figure out that Zone 3 is Lopez Lake. I mean, and that's about all you'll know after six meetings.
It may also be reasonable to have staff attend these meetings for more continuity.
Well, there is a technical committee, and I'm on the finance committee, but when the finance, and I don't know how the technical goes, I've only been with Phil on a couple of occasions, and every time I've been there, I've been pretty well beat up, if you recall.
Were you beat up for being there? Or?
No, because one time I was arguing about the overrun on the Lopez Dam retrofit, and I didn't know. I thought the guy I was arguing with was a contractor. He happened to be our guy. I mean, the position he was taking, it was not in our favor.
Could it be characterized as one who is a position that wanted to see a deluxe project built by someone who had no responsibility for cost?
Well, the project was over. I mean, the retrofit, the additional pilings had already been put in. I mean, you know, and then they came back with a request for a change order. But my experience on the finance side of it is that we are presented in very thoroughly. I mean, the accountant that they have and the financial people they have are extremely competent people. We are presented with extremely detailed budgets. I mean, I use that for our rates analysis and things such as that. But I view this, and I'll certainly let Phil give his impression, because he goes to the technical committee for us. I view this as the decisions are being made by the advisory council. I mean, I'm taking this as presentation of information so that I can prepare a budget so that we can pay these bills. I'm not looking at it, and neither is any of the other finance people that go there. We're not looking at it as, you know, this is open for discussion, that we can say, you know, draw a line through this $200,000, we don't want it. We're just accepting an input of information from the county staff so that we can come back, put those numbers in our budget, and move forward. We don't look at ourselves as decision makers. We look at and until I went to the Zone 3 meeting the other night, I thought that you guys were making decisions. And I think that, just for your own edification, I would certainly encourage the next meeting, which is, what, May? Is it May something? I don't know. I would encourage you to go, just to view it. I mean, you know, and if you aren't awestruck at the end of it, Director Angelo has been to many of them, and I'm sure that.
Everybody in this district is awestruck.
Is there any chance we could have like a traveling OCSD board meeting there, special meeting with all of us in attendance?
Well, you can go to any meeting.
Yeah, but for us to say something.
You can say something.
Yeah.
You just can't make any decisions. I'm sorry, Director.
I was just going to say, it wasn't too many years ago the county as supervisors would pass the budget, and then they would present the budget that was passed to Zone 3 after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
And that hasn't been too many years ago.
Well, I commend staff, Mitch especially, and Phil both, for trying to get a handle on this. But the thing, it's a runaway train. You've been set up to fail, and the whole structure and the system and the process has set you up to fail. And given that structure, I don't see that there's any way you could possibly succeed in trying to control costs. It's a runaway train that there's no. They don't even toss out a rope that you can try to hold on to, and that's structurally there in the way the whole thing is run. So I think that the only way, again, to get a hold on it is to change the structure entirely and bring it under ultimately the control of the people that are going to have to pay for it. And today we don't have that.
Well, I don't think there needs to be any major changes. I think that the changes that need to be made are there needs to be more frequent meetings. The issues need to be brought to the advisory committee for vote so that, you know, instead of county staff being able to go to the county and saying, oh, yeah, we ran this by the technical committee, we ran it by the finance committee, we ran it by the advisory committee, you know. What they said about it is something totally different, and you certainly won't be voting on something you don't understand. So there would definitely need to be more of an education process by county staff to the advisory committee if, you know, the vote was going to be recorded. In other words, only action item issues that have been approved by the advisory council should actually ever go to the Board of Supervisors. The Board of Supervisors, of course, can override your advice, but at least they ought to know what it is, and it ought to be informed advice.
Your other comment about state water running over on a period that the Lopez water was unavailable, that's total news to me.
It's total news to me, too.
And that's...
I understand. We have state water a little high for a month, 6 weeks, whatever. And then when Lopez is back online, they'll run Lopez a little high.
I wonder if that's...
Were we ever asked?
Yeah, were we ever asked? Did the people that built the infrastructure that allowed that trade to be made get somehow compensated for the provision of the infrastructure? That sounds like... we're being short-sheeted once again.
Well, in reality, Grover and Roy Grandy, they are getting state water every month because what comes down that, I mean, they don't separate it that when it goes into the pipeline. This is state water, so it's got to stay on the right-hand side of the pipe and, you know.
No, I clearly understand that, but when Lopez water is shut off, then by definition, only state water is coming down the pipe. And there's only two jurisdictions that I know of that have paid for the privilege. We're one.
Sometimes state water shut off and then we get
that. But we're entitled to that.
But we get more than our entitlement, getting the replacement of the state water. The state water shuts down about a month a year.
Yes.
We've received more than our entitlement of Lopez water?
Not on an annual basis.
Not on an annual basis.
It's paper.
But we've also contributed to the infrastructure for that. So,
is our contract for Lopez Water limit our monthly amount, or is it just so much we can get over a year, in a year period?
It has to be taken evenly so much
money. Anyway, we'll be working on this. At least I encourage all the board members to attend just to see what a Zone 3 meeting's all about.
Yeah.
I was surprised.
Yeah. The thing is that, you know, I mean, that next meeting's 2 months from now, okay? And we're already halfway through the year for Zone 3 at that point. Yeah. So yeah, it's, you know, if something's going to be changed, we probably need to sit down and see what we want to do, and you know, work toward that action and see if we need to get something on the next agenda for Zone 3 between now and then too. You know, I mean, if there's
I understand what you're saying, but I don't believe this is going to be a quick fix. I mean, this has been going on for,
right,
since 1969.
Yeah, you don't put the bricks on a runaway train overnight. You know, it takes miles.
And so I think that first, I really would recommend that each member of the board, I mean, you know, I know that Director Angelo's totally up to speed, but each member of the board understand Zone 3, learn what it's all about. And then, you know, because obviously you could make the very quick but wrong, you know, recommendation, which will very quickly be discarded, which will then in turn have you lose your credibility, and then nothing will happen. You need to address this from a point of knowledge. You need to address this from a point of information. And you need to address it from a positive standpoint. As I said, I believe that county staff is extremely capable, competent, and intelligent. They're certainly smarter than I am, I'll tell you that right now. And so I think that, you know, you need to address this from a point of strength.
Yeah, you never get anything accomplished if you're going to go about it as in an adversarial format. Well, anyway, that was my 3-minute Zone 3 report.
Very good. I attended the Oceano Advisory Committee meeting on the 20th of this month. We had election of officers. Alita Wheeler is our new president. I was elected vice president. Mitch Cooney was elected secretary. Will DeShane, not being present, was elected treasurer. Tom Rambler came back from a long time away, and I believe he's representing the Oceano Airport. At the meeting, someone had mentioned a report in Will's absence. The Creek Walk was canceled. I'm not sure who that was. Do you remember, Rich?
That was Linda Austin.
Linda Austin brought that up. I should have taken that down. I attended a special district governance conference down in Anaheim. This is some paperwork that I, big binder here that I've got from it. At the conference or governance seminar, a lot of educational things. There's a lot of different districts there. Gina attended it too. I think we both walked away with a good understanding, you know, better education. Many of the things that we went over there were introduction to governance seminar, where special districts are today, effective district leadership, planning your agency's future, your role in human resources. Right before that says luncheon. During the luncheons, there's a lot of, you meet other districts, you talk to other people, you find out a lot about what other districts are doing. There was a fire, I sat at a table where there was people talking about fire consolidation. I took some notes on that, I'll pass them on. Planning your agency's future, your role in human resources. Each of these are hour, 2 hour little meetings with about probably 100 people, 200 people in these meetings, one big room. Your role in human resources, managing your financial resources, what you need to know about local government. Each speaker gives great detail. There's several people that go to these and give lectures every time. But you always have new ones. Ethics and government, that was a really good speaker. there's a young lady, I can't think of her name, but it'll come to me later. But just a great, great seminar. Learned a lot. Looking towards the future of districts, not just the day-to-day events. Parks and Recreation came up. Community Enhancement came up. Irma Rodriguez, this is the lady who, she was very motivative speaker. She primarily was sexual harassment, hostile work environment, quid pro quo harassment. Very interesting. I got a lot out of what she said. The way she presented it was good. Stephen P. Morgan, fire consolidation. He was a guest speaker. Benefits of consolidation of a fire department. He's in a community just similar to our, I think it's Sebastopol, Capitol, someplace up there. And small community like ours, but they've consolidated fire departments. It's worked really, really well for them. Very nice guy. Hopefully, if we move towards fire consolidation, we'll look and talk with them up in that area.
Dr. Morgan is an instructor at Sonoma State.
Yeah, very, very educated person. That's it.
Did they, when they talked about fire consolidation within their district there, did they find that there was a cost savings or not?
I think there is. They needed to consolidate their fire departments up there, and I believe that really didn't come up too much. But I mean, this is a person that we could contact and get more information from. He was more than willing to talk with us. I believe doesn't Mitch work on other fire consolidations?
As I said, I know he's an instructor at Sonoma State. He's been on their board of directors for the fire district for years.
Matter of fact, I believe he's the president of the CSDA chapter of fire districts. But I have no idea what his outside consulting is.
Yeah, I believe he does a little bit of that. Consolidation of governments, water, sewer, fire, trash, street lighting. Talking with other districts there, our district is very unique. We do water, sewer, fire, trash, street lighting. A lot of the people from other districts going to this conference, they only do one thing. You know, they may do sewer, they may do street lighting. Oceano, our charter here is set up proper. We do a lot for our community. Gives me a lot of pride in our community to see this.
Okay, Director Angelo.
Fire committee meeting was canceled last night, okay. So I have nothing to report.
All right, Director Hill.
No committee attendance, but I did attend the Board of Supervisors meeting yesterday. I just wanted to introduce a couple items and 3-minute public comment. You can't say very much, but I mentioned the lateral streets out from Oceano Elementary where in the rain, as happens every year, puddles and mud on the side of the road force kids to walk to school, pretty much in the traffic lane competing with cars that are going to and from the school at that time. And asked if there was some way that the Board of Supervisors could find to budget money as they come up on the budget discussions this year to help get some sidewalks put in that area so that kids can walk to school in better safety. Also mentioned the cost overruns on Zone 3 and the effect on our ratepayers. Pleading, as it were, for possibly some relief if the Board of Supervisors had any ability to grant that. Zone 11A was there. This was the meeting where the Board of Supervisors approved the annexations of minor parcels that are added into the zone boundaries to kind of finalize the zone boundaries. There's still time for protests if that was to be discussed. They settled on pretty much the 20-year flood area. They're going to go ahead with the Prop 218 election. There's going to be upcoming meetings to help, again, get the word out. If you get a Prop 218 election ballot, it'll come in the mail to you. If you're one of the property owners in the affected zone, and you'll be asked to vote yes to pay less. And that is that if you agree to the assessment that's established by the Zone 11A advisory group to go forward, the ultimate cost for your parcel will be approximately a third of what it would be the first year under the only alternative, which is the Department of Water Resources coming in from the state. So it's pretty much in everybody's own financial interest to support that Prop 218 election going forward. There's been a lot of work by numbers of people, County Public Works, the San Luis Coastal Resource Conservation District, Resource Management Services, lots and lots of people, Zone 11A Advisory Committee, Gary Kubara, and everyone associated with that, culmination of a lot of work coming together here with this 218 election. So hopefully that'll go well, and the minimum increase in cost would be imposed on the residents there rather than the, it would be triple the first year and about six times higher the second and some subsequent years if that 218 vote was defeated. So it's very important, I would think, for the residents and the property owners, especially in that area, to support the 218 election. That's about it.
Okay, and Director Mann is absent, so is there any public comment on the reports by district representatives?
Yes, I do. I'd like to comment on Mr. Bookout's observation.
Could you state your name for the record, please?
I believe I already have before.
Can you state your name again for the record?
For the record, my name is Mark Wampler, Oceano resident.
Thank you.
As you know, Bill, I attended that meeting, and I also videotaped that meeting. And I came away with some disillusionments. The Oceano Advisory Council is in disarray. And it's a funny thing that happens when things go haywire. All of a sudden, certain people have amnesia, serious bouts of amnesia. Starting with the agenda, right at the top heading says Oceano Halcyon Advisory Committee. And I'm sure my friend Karen would have some comments about that. So that had to be corrected. Item number four, review and approval of minutes. Well, there were no minutes. So on we went to number five. Item number five. Reports. Well, the reporters, they were all there on the agenda, Sheriff, CHP, Parks and Rec, Planning, but no OCSD report was listed. So I stood up and asked, is there a reason why? And the chairperson, that individual, said, far as that was concerned, there was no OCSD reports that was recollected. So another bout of amnesia. Back in December, the council had approved permanent video recording and archive. The camera was provided free of charge to the council. So were the tapes. Even the cameraman was not charged to the council. So when I had requested that possibly that the cameraman would be paid a mere $35, the treasurer refused to pay it. And that was also confirmed by another council member. I was very, very discouraged by that. The bylaws subcommittee, when Halcyon had split off, became apparent that also all of a sudden Oceano was a complete new entity and that new bylaws needed to be drawn up. Well, after three meetings, that was cut short. There was no mention of any bylaws, meetings, or updates. So it's like, I don't know what twilight zone this council has gone off to. with all due respect, Bill, I'm very, very disappointed. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other public comment on reports of district representatives? Okay. Moving on to board member items for discussion. David, do you have anything?
No, I don't.
Bill?
Just, you know, Oceano, we're moving forward. We got a lot of good things happening. We finally got a gas station back here in Oceano. It's been 6 years. It's a good day for Oceano. And it cost me $200 a day in gas. I filled up 3 vehicles. But that was lower than Grand Avenue.
And not as far to go. Is that it?
That's it.
Okay. Jim?
I'd also like to congratulate Max Padilla and Jeanette for being able to open Oceano Valero. I had the privilege of being a customer on their first official day of service also, and you'll get good service there. They actually do tend to you and treat you right. You'll get a level of service that hasn't been seen, I think, in the state of California in probably 30 years. So I'd encourage everybody to support our local businesses. Another item still ongoing is the I still have to express my concern that we don't have a second public comment for general discussion items on the agenda here. I know that there's people that can't make it quite at 6:30, and if they don't, they lose out on the opportunity to make a general comment. I think that's,
Jim, that decision has been made quite a while ago, and I don't know if this is...
I think I have the floor, Vern. And it's that decision was wrongly made, in my opinion, and I'll continue to express my opinion that it was wrongly made. Our fire department is done without facility fees now for a year. I'm glad to see that finally the... it looks like we're going to get something from the county in terms of facility fees to help support the fire department again. That's a very positive development. I note that we have the subject of our own OCSD audit here tonight. I'm pleased with the results. It looks like the financial condition of the district is in good shape, and that we're relatively well managed financially. So that's a good thing that the citizens of the community have every right to respect and or to expect, and it looks like it's going well. So I congratulate the staff on a good audit result. With the subject of audits, I'm also reminded that we had a contract a year ago with OCCI that stated that they would provide an audit and accounting of public monies that were granted to them for their project, and even though they signed the agreement, we have yet to see any kind of an audit from that source, and I really have not much hope at this point of seeing any in the future. With respect to the Oceano Advisory Committee, Mr. Wampler's comment there, I found that very strange. It just, you know, it could be that I'm missing something, but it looked to me like the advisory committee was fairly well self-appointed with rules that seem to be brought out of nowhere. I don't know where the bylaws come from for that, but it seemed to me that a telling moment was when the chairperson called for a secret ballot, and I thought, yeah, that might as well have a secret ballot. It seems to represent the community about that well. So I share Mark's disappointment in the Oceano Advisory Council. I note that Napomo has a system with their advisory council where they divide the community up into several pieces of pie, and they have a couple of representatives from each segment of the community as they've divided it up. That might be a better way to get real general representation from the community on that group, but I would hope there could be some improvement in that means. That's it.
Okay. With regards to the second public comment, that is, decision has been made several meetings back, and I don't know if this is just by keeping bringing this up every single meeting. I don't know if this is some kind of form of a tantrum you're throwing or a bullying tactic you're using, but I would suggest that you go back and read the code of ethics that this board has adopted, because continuing to bring this up is a violation of our code of ethics. So please go back and read that.
In defense of that, I believe, Vern, you mentioned that after about three meetings, you would bring back the public comment.
I said I would bring that back if these meetings became more civilized.
You know, okay. That's an insult to this board, saying that we're not civilized. Well, you know, this is... You've said that before. Freedom of speech is a very important thing in this country we live in. That's what our whole jurisdiction of life is, freedom of speech. You know, the right to walk down the street with freedom. You know, the public has a right of freedom of speech. If they want
to... Right, taken away
and
from
we have, since 1991, going back in our minutes, we have had freedom of speech here in Oceano.
We still have it, Bill.
I'm talking freedom of speech at the end of our meetings. And if a public wants to say something, freedom of speech, they should have that right. 1991. Now, I don't know what's happened before 1991. You go back to 1998, 1988, 1987, we lost those minutes. But freedom of speech, Vern. Give it to the residents of Oceano, Vern. Let's end this. Give them freedom of speech.
Then drop it, and it will be ended.
I'll drop it. You know what? Freedom of speech. Bring it back to a vote.
It's not an issue of freedom of speech. Okay, at this point, it is freedom of speech.
At this point, I'd like to ask staff to please bring a change to the rules of order, because it doesn't look like there's going to be any satisfaction on this until we consider a revision to the rules of order.
I think that
and
has
I would
already
like to see
brought,
that
come before the board.
The rules of order be put on the next agenda for consideration.
Yeah, I feel the public's been belittled by this. This is not right.
It's not just the public.
I don't believe I have the authority to place it on the agenda, because there is not a consensus.
There was a consensus. There was four directors that asked for it.
No, there were two directors that asked for it, and three directors that said they were not interested in changing the rules of order.
Three directors?
Three directors.
You were at the meeting. That's how it went.
I believe that
I'd like to hear the opinion of the other directors, because at the time, I don't think those directors knew that it was going to be forced on them to have the rules of order changed to get the situation corrected.
Okay, so moving on to consideration of the warrants.
Is there something, the correction?
No, there. Director Hill will gladly sign this last warrant.
That's correct. Signature on the warrant for the audit, because we hadn't received an audit report for the last couple meetings, but now that we have, this is a proper item.
I'll move to pay the warrants.
Okay.
Second.
All right, any public comment on the warrants?
I don't know about the warrants, but I think
general public comment should continue.
I agree with Jim Hill and Bill. Keep up the good work.
All those in favor of paying the warrants, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Passes 4-0. Okay. Any written communication?
There is no written communication.
Okay. Thank you. We are adjourned.